Second Peter 1, we'll read verses 1 through 4 for the text. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, just as an introduction, as believers, we're wealthy beyond measure. We're richly supplied. We're abundantly supplied. And a lot of times we don't realize this. I guess sometimes we kind of live like paupers as Christians, but we have all things through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a poem written by Harriet Beulah back in the 1800s, and John B. Sumner put it to music, and it says, "My father is rich in houses and lands. He holdeth the wealth of the world in his hand, of rubies and diamonds, of silver and gold. His coffers are full. He has riches untold. I'm a child of the King, a child of the King. With Jesus, my Savior, I'm a child of the King. My Father's own son, the Savior of men, once wandered on earth as the poorest of them, but now he is pleading our pardon on high, that we may be his when he comes by and by." And we're all looking for that. "I once was an outcast stranger on earth, a sinner by choice, an alien by birth, but I've been adopted. My name's written down as an heir to a mansion, a robe, and a crown. A tent or a cottage, why should I care? They're building a palace for me over there. Though exiled from home, yet still may I sing, all glory to God, I'm a child of the King." And we need to realize that. Yes, if we're born again, child of God, by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. I thought Brother Jimmy did a wonderful job Thursday night giving the plan of salvation. And it's only through the Lord Jesus Christ that we can be saved. There's a lot of people that say they're Christian and they don't give the Lord Jesus Christ credit for their salvation. Now, how can you be a Christian? How can you be a child of God unless you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? He is the only way. Now, as I already said, many of us, sometimes we don't trust in the Lord enough. And God has made many promises in his word to us, and we need to rely on those promises. We know they're true. God is all truth. And so when we read a promise that God has made in his word, we can apply it to our life as being a child of God, as being a truster in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, reading again the third and fourth verse of that text that we just read, let's read it again. "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." On the day of our salvation, we inherited all of God's promises and became very prosperous. Amen. Precious promises. When we think about the word precious, we think of something that's of exceeding value, of something that's to be cherished. And every one of these promises that we studied this morning, we need to cherish them. We need to get a hold of them. We need to put them in our mind and rely on, because God has made these promises to us. He's a trustworthy God. Okay, when we're born again, we've gained spiritual riches. And they're now at our disposal. And we should realize that. The promises that God made. And we're going to go over a few of those promises. I don't know if we'll we'll finish all of them that I've got down, but we'll try. The Lord has brought to us a relationship with Him, God, the all-powerful. Romans, the 5th chapter, the 6th verse through the 11th verse says this, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet preventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And now only so, but we ought, not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." This was a verse that Brother Jimmy used Thursday night. And I was just thinking about, he was talking about the Lord Jesus Christ coming and paying the price for sin, paying for the penalty of sin. And I was just thinking while he was preaching, everybody's sin has been paid for. It's like, and I've used this illustration many times, and it's very real to me. When the Lord died on the cross of Calvary to save us from sin, it was for everybody. I mean, God loves everybody. And He means for, the hell was not created for mankind. It was created for the devil and his angels. And so when we think about how God loved us, He loved us so much that He sent His only begotten Son, His only Son, to die on the cross and pay that sin debt for you and I. And that sin debt's been paid. All a person has to do is come and believe and accept it. It's already paid. I mean, it's like if you went down to the Golden Corral today and eat lunch and you went up there to pay and it's already paid for. Just go eat all you want. It's already paid for. So our sin, the penalty for our sin has been paid for on the cross of Calvary by the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, how much God loved the human. Now, I know there's nothing more precious than that thought, really, of God loving us so much that He paid to send that for it. We can't pay for it. Brother Jim brought this out very plain the other night. No religion, no act of our own except trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ can we be saved. That's the only way. It is through Him, and that's the only way. So the Lord brought us into relationship with Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. He brought us there. He made the payment for us. I mean, it's not like you have to have $1 million in order to become a child of God. It's already paid for. All you've got to do is bow down and worship the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior. That's the only way. Now, when we trusted Jesus, our Lord, we became a child of God. This is a foundation of our inheritance as children of God, because all promises flow through our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, we must trust Him as Savior. And then all other relationship, all other inherited promises is through Him, because that we've trusted in Him. And it's for His glory, not ours. It's for His glory. You see many today that mean they want to take the glory for things. Everything that we do as a child of God should be for the glory of God. If we're doing something not to the glory of God, we need to quit doing it. All right, secondly, or first here, we said the Lord Himself brought us into relationship with Him, because the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary and paid the sin debt for us. Already paid for it. Number two, we have, and I'm thankful for this, we have daily cleansing as children of God. I mean, I've been real, I know you probably would too, and you might probably realize this, but I'd be in real trouble with that one soul. I mean, it's so many times I fail, and we're not supposed to. I know I've talked to some people over the years, and they seem to think that they don't fail. But I'm telling you right now, I failed since I've been standing here. And we need to come to realize that. And a lot of times, we need to ask the Lord forgiveness for those things. And every time I come across that thought, I think about the Brother Daly and his prayer. His prayer was for the sins I know about and those sins that I don't know about. Sometimes we don't even realize that we're failing God. He's not brought it to our attention yet. And so that's always buried on my mind. Brother Daly said that a whole lot. He'd say, forgive me of my sins that I know about and those sins that I don't know about. So I'm thankful for that daily cleansing. Now, a verse that we can go to see the promises of God about daily cleansing, look at 1 John, first chapter. Most of us are very familiar with this. The 9th verse. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Boy, I'm thankful for that. I'd be in bad trouble. If I had to carry around my thoughts and my failure, I'd be in trouble. And as his child, we now have the privilege to come to him, ask forgiveness, confessing our sins, and he has promised that he'll forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's a daily thing with me. I don't know about you. I don't know about you. That's daily with me. You know, sometimes, many times a day. And so we have that promise. If we come to him and confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Clean slate. Clean slate. Now, there's some that think that if you fail God, you got to go back and be saved again. That's not so. We have a father and child relationship with God. It's my dad's been gone now. Let me see, he died in 1987. I don't know how long would that be? That'd be 35 years, 36 years. What? Dad's been gone a long time. But I find myself wanting to talk to Dad after 35, 36 years. I'd just like to ask Dad about what he thought, because I had a lot of faith in Dad's reasoning power and his wisdom. And so sometimes I think, boy, I'd like to have Dad to talk about with that. But now God is so much higher. God is all powerful. God is all knowing. God is everywhere at all times. God. And that's our Father. That's God the Father. And through the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a relationship with him. We are his child. We're joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, just catch a hold of that. We're joint heirs. His child is being joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. What a relationship. So when we come to him and ask for his forgiveness, he promised he will forgive us and he will restore to us. He'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Third thing, God's presence is continually with us. He's always there. And we might leave God, but God don't leave us. He's there. Now, when I think about well, am I living the way I should? God's with me. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit lives within me. He's with me at all times. As a matter of fact, we'll cross this in just a minute. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he left this earth, he said, I'm going to send you a helper. I want to send somebody to be with you. Always be with you. And that was the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, if you're a child of God, lives within you. He's continually with us. Hebrews, the 13th chapter and the 5th verse says this, let your conversation, your life, your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What a wonderful thought. I don't care what kind of problem we got. He's there.
Thank you, Lord.
He's there. All these things that we have to deal with on a daily basis, he's there. We might have bills comes up, we don't have money, but he's there. And some of these promises will even apply to that we're going to give you later on. But he's there, he's with us. Our daily walk, he's there. Now, We have a traveling companion. You know, I won't say every time, but I think every time I take a trip, I ask the Lord to protect me and protect my family. I do that when my grandson was up this past week for a day or two, and I kind of worry about him being safe on the highway. You know, it's, I don't know, 85, 90 miles to his house. Part of it's not interstate. It's back road. But anyway, I ask God to help him, to protect him on the road. And I'm thankful for that protection. And maybe not always, but I think most of the time, at least, when I get back from one of those travels, I thank the Lord for protecting me. Sometimes we forget to thank the Lord. He's there. He's with us. We need to thank him. Thank you, Lord, for giving me a safe trip. The fourth thing is we have the Holy Spirit as our helper. I'm thankful. I get in all kinds of trouble. You know, let me put it to you this way. If you start down the road or take an action that you shouldn't be in, Holy Spirit starts to say, whoop, wait a minute. We need to listen. Wait a minute. There's been times in my life, things have happened. I said, well, why did that happen? And I've come to realize the Lord uses situations in our lives to kind of guide us through life. Sometimes, you know, you might have, last Sunday I went out and I had a flat tire. Believe it or not, I ran over a quarter inch extension, you know, for a socket set, an extension. And it drove that up, and I know when I ran over to hurt it. Pop! I said, what was that I run over? Well, I even went back and looked, make sure I didn't run over something I shouldn't have. And I did, really, but I went back and didn't see nothing. Well, it was okay. I guess it sealed okay that night. So I come to church last Sunday, and I went out. I had a flat tire. And I never got that extension out of there. I bought two new front tires in my truck, and the tire man, I said, have you ever seen a tire with a quarter inch extension in it? He said, I've seen it all, Kevin. I've seen it all. But it's amazing. But I got to thinking, though, that may be for a reason. You know, sometimes we have things that, why did that happen? We might have been protected from a bad car wreck or something. You know, I had plans to go somewhere that afternoon. I couldn't go. I had a flat tire. I tried to fix it. It was too big a hole to fix. And when you drive that big a hole in a tire, it's hard to patch them. I patched it up enough to get it to the tire place, but it was leaking even when I got there. But I take that as maybe a action to say, for my safety, really, or things. So when God is speaking to us through the leadership of the Holy Spirit, we need to listen. We need to realize. If we're leaving in God's hands, he'll take care of us. We'll see that further on. Now, the 14th chapter of John, the 16th verse says this. And of course, this is Jesus speaking. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. I mean, they were comforted because the Lord was there. They were following the Lord. But what he's saying, when I leave, I'll pray the Lord that he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. That's something else to think about. The Holy Spirit's going to always be with us. We're always going to be the Lord Jesus Christ. We're always going to, and here's proof of it in this verse. But he, the Comforter, and we spoke on the Holy Spirit not too often long ago, the Comforter is there living within us. And when he guides us, when we feel something that's not right, or something not right, we need to turn and run from it. Because that's the Lord telling us, hey, be careful. There's a pitfall up front. Be careful. You know, I watch reality shows a whole lot more than any other kind of TV. And there's one that I kind of enjoy watching. It's one called Alone. And it's where people go out in the wilderness and live by themselves like for 2 months. And it's not on the Hawaiian Islands. It's out in the wild. And so I kind of watch them, you know, and they're talking about, and they make snares instead of pitfalls for animals to try to stay alive. They don't have anything. They're just out there by themselves. They don't have any food or anything. And so those pitfalls are out there, and the animals sometimes will fall in them, and they'll get something to eat and through that thing. But let me tell you right now, the devil's out there with all kinds of pitfalls. Now, a lot of times we think of a pitfall, we think of maybe of a little covering with some leaves on it where we can step in it. The devil has got all kinds of pitfalls. You know, one of the pitfalls might be a lawn. That show, I might should be doing something else, and I'm watching that show. But anyway, he has all kinds of pitfalls. But God will bring it to our attention when we need to be guided through the leadership of his Holy Spirit. So, before Jesus ascended into heaven, he said, he sent the believer a helper. So we have the indwelling Holy Spirit within us. Now, I know there's some groups that they say that you gain the Holy Spirit and some kind of other action other than salvation. Not true. Holy Spirit's with you. If you're a born-again child of God, you have the Holy Spirit living with you. That's the fact of the matter. And there's no other experience. Now, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, in my mind, is being 100% sold out to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. That means that we're living the way we should before God. Holy Spirit has us in his control. Now, I know there's a lot of prestigious other things, but I don't believe so. I believe that it's being 100% sold out to the leadership of the Holy Spirit, God. Then we have the assurance of God's strength. God's all powerful. You know, sometimes I wonder, why is this going on? I was watching a preacher this morning, right? Sometimes I get up pretty early, and there's one guy, I can't hardly understand what he's saying, but he has a lot of truth. And there's a question in my mind, you know, he's got, I don't know what kind of accent it is. It might be a Cuban, I'm not sure. But anyway, sometimes I watch him, and he brings out some truths and some of the things that's going on in the world that you won't hear anywhere else. It's amazing. He's bringing out some of the things that our government is following and how untrue that it was and so on and so forth. Sometimes I wonder, all these things going on, why does God allow? Let me tell you, God is a long-suffering God. God wants everyone to be saved. I mean, he's not going to shut the door on anyone if they want to become his child. If they want to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and become a child of his, he's willing. And he is long-suffering. I'm thankful for his long-suffering because I need it. I need it because I'm just a human and I fail a whole lot. But God is an all-powerful God. Notice what it says in Isaiah, the 41st chapter and the 10th verse. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. If God is with you, all powerful, there's nothing more powerful. He's all powerful. He said, fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. God, all strength. When we're weak, we can rely upon the sovereign ruler of the universe, God the Father. He is all powerful. God himself will supply our needs. Matthew, the 6th chapter, and starting with the 31st verse, we'll read the two verses here. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things that the Gentiles seek. Don't get carried away with trying to gain the things of this life. God says he'll supply. He goes on to say, for your heavenly Father knoweth what ye have need of. All these things. And he knows exactly what we need. And he's committed himself to provide. I've seen a lot of people, no doubt in my mind, that they're saved and they're ministers of the Lord. And when God sends us to do something, He's going to be there to help us.
Yeah.
Whether it be an automobile to carry us there, an automobile to bring us back, gas to put in it, whatever, He's going to provide. If he sent us somewhere, He's going to provide. If it's His will, you don't have to worry about it. He's going to provide for it. And so don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. And that's what He was telling the disciples here. So don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. God will supply. Same thing. See? That's what He said. So God will supply our needs. Notice what He says. He knows exactly what we need, and He'll provide it. The 33rd verse then goes on, and I got a little daily study sometimes I do and send out on email and sometimes on Facebook. But the 33rd verse says this: "But seek ye first the kingdom of God." There's a kicker right there. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Don't worry about it. God sends you to do something, He's going to provide. We can say a whole lot more about that, but we won't for lack of time. Also, God answers prayer. 1 John, the 5th chapter, starting with the 14th verse, says this: "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him." God answers prayer. When we pray according to God's will, He answers. Now, sometimes, you know, you might not understand some things. You know, I just lost my son-in-law. And, so, you know, he's still young. Still young. I think he's 46, maybe 47. He's a young man. And sometimes I question, now why? You know, why? But God knows. God knows why. God knows. Thank the Lord He was saved. And God knows. God knows. And a lot of times we might think, well, we might have prayed that didn't happen. A lot of people are sick, you know. A lot of things that happens to people, and they pray and they don't. God knows what we need. It might not be His will that we get well, but He knows. And He does answer prayers if it's according to His will. God's always ready to give us His best. He's always ready to give us His best. Now, sometimes in our mind, we might think, well, this is what's best, but it's not the best. God knows what's best, and He always is ready to give us His best. Notice what it says in Psalms, the 84th verse and 11th, or 84th chapter and 11th verse. "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly." If we live a godly life, the Lord will never withhold any good thing from us. And sometimes if I believe this, God may withhold something because if we withhold some joy and peace with us if we're not living where we should with Him. And I think He does do that. I think that living in the center of God's will, you can't have better joy and better peace. Just knowing that. That's not saying everything in our life's going to go peachy rosy. Because we got problems here in this life. We're not home yet. You know, we're not home. We're just pilgrims here. We're just passing through. We're not home. And we're going to get lost sometime. We're going to have some hardships. You know, I love the woods. I like to go out in the woods by myself, you know. But sometimes I have to walk through a briar patch. sometimes I get slapped in the face with a, you know, we had some timber cut, and some of the things that's grown back is hard to walk through. Just kind of the sun now gets to the in the woods there in the forest, and things grow up, and they're hard to walk through. We're living in this world. We're not home yet. We didn't hit the air conditioned door. Thank the Lord for air conditioning. That guy that was talking this morning, he was talking about about climate change. He said, "Let me show you something." He went back like 200 years, and they drew a graph. And actually, I'm talking about worldwide now. It's actually, we're cooler today than it was 200 years ago. And it's kind of amazing, you know. Anyway, we're gonna all die of heat. But anyway, it's thank the Lord for air conditioning. You know, yeah, I can go out in the garden and work a while. You don't get hot, and I'm like, "Woo, man, this feels good." you know, we're under air conditioning right now. I was thinking when I came in, you know, it's so good to be able to stand here without sweat. You know, you see, in the old days, back when I was a child, churches didn't have air conditioning, didn't have padded pews, you know, and most of the pews was actually slats, and it's hard to sit on slats, you know. But anyway, we've got an air conditioned building here. Sometimes it don't get as cool as it should, maybe, but thank the Lord for it. Thank the Lord for it. God will supply all of our needs. He answers prayers, and he's always ready to give us his best. But the thing that our part is that we live a godly life, that we follow him. Okay, and also in Psalms we find this. He daily bears our burden. Blessed be, this is the 68th chapter in the 19th verse of Psalm. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. Even the God of our salvation. Now there's no reason to wake up each morning and be hindered by trials and heartaches. We need to ask God to be with us that day and to bear our burdens for us. You know, you may have something that's very difficult for you that you're going to have to deal with that day. You know, I've had times that the difficulty didn't seem like it. Maybe it was a presentation at work or something like that, and boy, I dread that. Then you ask God to help you. You ask God to help you and depend on him, and hey, that wasn't so bad. Thank you, Lord. Make sure you thank the Lord for helping you. Yeah. No difficulty can go up other times. Thank the Lord. So he's there. Bear our burden. So we should lay our concern. Now you say, well, that's just too minute for the Lord. He's all powerful. God Almighty, this is a little thing. No, he wants you to share everything with him. God wants a relationship with us. He wants a daily relationship. He wants to walk with us. Remember, he's with us. He's walking with us. He's in us. He wants that. So anything that comes our way, he's there. He wants to happen. So sometimes I don't do that. I don't ask God. And I find that day don't go too well. You know, John R. Rice he was known as a prayer warrior. I've never read a whole lot of John R. Rice. But he said one time that he just didn't have time not to pray in the morning. You know, and I don't know the exact words you use, but he said, you know, that's most important. Pray in the morning. Ask God to help you. Mm-hmm. Talk to God. Let him talk to you. Time of the day. God will help us. He will bear our burdens. Now, he comforted us in time of trouble. I'm thankful for this. I'm so thankful for this. He comforts us in a time of trouble. 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, verses 3 and 4 says this, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Now, you know, like I said, you know, it's, you know, death comes to our family, and it's a troublesome time. It's a grievous time, and it's natural to grieve. But I'm so thankful that God gives us peace in these times. And sometimes we'll go through some hardships that then you don't seem like that you can bear. But God gives us peace as His children. He's promised it to us. Also, I think sometimes I think about people don't have any hope. You know, my hope is, a family member dies, they're now in heaven. I had a real good friend. Just passed away he was buried last week. And my comfort is he's in heaven, I see him again. I've come to know him. I never did know him much when I was in the service, but we were in the service together. We've come to know each other in later years because we talked a lot on the phone. We actually talked from one time here in Cookeville. But my thought is, if he's in heaven, I'll see him one day. It won't be long. You know, I'm getting old now. It won't be long. I'll see him. I'll see my father-in-law, my dad-in-law, my mother-in-law. And when mom passes away, I'll see her. You know, it's wonderful just to think what God has in store for us. We can't even visualize what heaven's going to be like. I was reading a book. Just the other day, I was reading a book about heaven, what heaven is going to be about. And they said, well, we think, and this, so I think, well, the Bible don't give us a whole lot of description of heaven that I can paint in my mind. But I do know this. The Lord Jesus, God made the world, made everything in 6 days. And the Lord's been gone now over 2,000 years. And he said, I'll go away to prepare a place for you. Man, what God can prepare in over 2,000 years. I think about, well, he don't tell me because I couldn't visualize it. Can you visualize a street of gold? I can't. That's another show that I watch sometimes, you know, the Gold Rush. And they go out there and they got these big shaker machines that shakes gold, minute gold out of rocks and dirt and so on and so forth. And they come up with 2 or 3 ounces of gold. Look at here, what we got. But can you imagine a road paved in gold? Well, I can't. Can you imagine the gates of pearl? I can't. I just imagine. So I think about, it's just unimaginable what God has in store for me. But He is a God that is preparing a place for you and I. Now, the next thing is the Lord sets limits on our trials and temptations. God knows what we can stand. He sets limits. Now, you won't come up against it. If you're a child of God, you won't come up against something that God has allowed you to come up against. So don't worry about it. Just keep on keeping it. Keep on swatting the bars back. Keep the lens and hit you if you can and so on and so forth. Just keep on keeping on. Because God has promised us that He would not allow things to happen to us that we can't withstand. Notice what it says, 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. But with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. I used to travel quite a bit on my job. And I had a lot of traveling companions that weren't children of God. They liked to carouse and do their thing. And I found that most of them knew that I was a child of God, if not all. And so when I'd get to that town, I'd say, we're going to go down to the club. I guess you want to go to the motel. I said, I sure do. you take me, I'd be thankful. It's God making a way of escape. You know, I always kind of use that illustration, but that's God making an escape for me. You know, he said, well, on business trip, I guess it'd be all right. No. God did. Now, if I had to refuse that, you know, I go back to the story. Somebody was in a great flood. I'm going to have to close here real quick. But in a great flood, and they said, well, God, why didn't he say? Well, he said, well, I sent you a boat. I sent you a helicopter. You refused those. God is there. He makes a way of escape. So we just need to take it. We need to take that exit ramp when God gives us that opportunity. He grants us wisdom. I'll cover this and we'll close. Might come back later. James 1:5 says this. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. And every decision that we face, God offers wisdom. What is our part? Read and study God's word. Listen to God when he speaks to us. When we're urged to do something, do it. When God is talking to us back in conviction or whatever, follow that. God gives us wisdom. And he will give us wisdom for everything in our life. Now, one said this. Sin can keep us from claiming the promises and this promise of wisdom because we allow it in our life. Now, a lot of times we think about sin, we think about killing somebody or stealing something. Oh, yes, that's sin. But what about our attitudes that we have? Thoughts that we have in our mind shouldn't be there. That's sin. Now, let me tell you right now, I don't know if you had these experiences I have. The devil put anything in your mind. He's dealing with a natural man. He can stick anything in your mind. I'm like, man alive, where that, you know, it's just awful. The devil has all kinds of traps. He has all kinds of influence. So we need to be careful and not allow sin in our life, but ask for the wisdom of God. I'm going to use one more. The Lord provides real, real rest for our soul. Now remember, and Brother Jamie, ever since he's been here, brought this out very plain. We've got two natures living within us. We got a spiritual nature. We got a natural nature. We don't want to allow the natural nature to have rule over our life. If it's natural, when you talk about lust, the natural lust, we don't allow that to have rule on our life. We get in trouble. We do. Allow the spiritual. Allow God, our relationship with God. And God provides rest for our soul. And we'll read this and we'll close. Matthew, the 11th chapter, starting with 28th verse. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. When our heart's burdened, God offers rest. And he offers rest to those that come to him. Now, here's another great verse in the Bible that tells us if we resist the devil, he will flee from us. We need to continually remember, the devil comes to us in the natural man. That's where he attacks. And so we got this natural nature within us. Our job is not allow that nature to rule. Allow the spiritual nature, which we have, the new creation God has placed within us, allow it to have rule over our lives.